light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint, a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We were discussing the movie God's Not Dead, number 3, Light and Darkness, for a while, and we'd like to continue that in this episode too, with our dear guests, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah, and welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum salam, glad to be here.
Welcome. Well, before we continue talking about this movie and continue our program, Viewpoint, let's take a listen to a part of this movie and then discuss it.
People are broken. They're lost. They're searching for meaning, for purpose.
Oh, church is the answer to those problems, huh?
Well, church is a place for people to seek, to grapple with those difficult questions, to find hope and truth. And you know that.
You were listening to a part of the movie God's Not Dead, The Light and Darkness, in this program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Brother Hussein, this part was referring to the fact that, you know, there is this role, or it's talking about the role of religion in life, in everyday life, or in modern life. You know, in lots of countries, especially the secular countries or Western countries, you see that religion has lost its value or lost its meaning and lost its application to today's life. Don't you agree?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I guess so. You know, there's that whole concept, like you said, the agnostics. And I feel like a lot of religious people these days are leaning towards them, you know, keeping it very civil and very, you know, diplomatic, I guess. So, so there are things that are, you know, occurring in today's world where, you know, you can apply your religion in. But I feel like a lot of people, like you said, don't take that chance because, you know, there are own personal reasons, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sayyid Abdullah, do you think that religion adds meaning to life?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I answer this question, let me give a bit of comment over the question that you asked, Brother Hussein.
Thank you.
When it comes to religion in secular countries, religion has lost its value, its sense. Do you know why? Because it was replaced by the civil law.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in religions, we have, thou I should not kill, thou I should not steal, thou I should not do this and that. These ones became part and parcel of the law itself,
mm-hmm.
that you cannot commit a crime. So when people grow up in such societies where the law itself is controlling everything, that you cannot commit a crime, you cannot even, you know, hate crimes, or you can't even now call people by names or be
exactly.
Discrimination against them, that you will be prosecuted by the law.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically, the religion itself was incorporated inside the civil law itself. So people say, well, I don't need religion anymore. Where if you
so
go,
religion, it started the all, it started the law. And the
exactly.
law is based on religion.
Exactly.
Roots.
So the law itself is religion, but in a different cover, in a different clothes.
Yes.
But if you go back, for example, 100 years ago, in most, even civilized countries, there was no civil law. But people were abiding by the religious law. See how time has changed?
Because America, for example, or, you know, those Western countries were started by church.
Exactly.
By churches,
so the church was the prosecution office. Even in the movie itself, it mentioned a few times that, oh, they used to kill people, the church.
Yes.
Because the church was the power. Now, that power was given to the government. And now people say, well, yeah, religion loses value. In reality, it does not lose its value, but the laws were made into civil law.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you come to our countries in the East, you'll find many countries don't have civil law, where the majority of people, they abide by the Islamic law. For example, in some countries, Iraq, for example, the law is there is very weak. It makes no sense. But people themselves, they have that code of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I can't kill, I can't steal, I can't do this, I can't
do that.
Of conduct, even though the law itself it does not exist. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So time shifts and it takes a different clause. But the religion itself, like I said, it lost its value in the civil world only because it was handed to the civil court.
So a new question arises here. When you say that we have this modern way of looking at life, and then we have the civil laws in most countries, and then there's no need actually for the religion or religious laws, because religious law already incorporated, right? So basically, here, there is no role of religion anymore, or religion doesn't play any part in their life, or add anything, any meaning to the life then.
No, so what I want to say is that what you said is correct. Half of it is correct. You can't override religion. So what happens is either you incorporate the entire religion in the system, and then it would govern, would have a meaning, like you said, the question, then life or religion would have meaning.
Uh-huh.
Or you can't incorporate half. For example, killing is a crime, right? But then when someone kills, he goes to court, the judge decides what to do. He gives him 5 years, 10 years, or in a lifetime. That's after the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you go to religion itself, it says if you kill, you should be killed. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you should get the death sentence. So that's not incorporated into religion. So either you take the whole parcel of religion, or you're going to take it just the things that suits you, and then you make up the rest.
Yes.
If you take the entire system as a package, as a parcel, and incorporate it into the civil system, then life would have meaning.
I see.
If you don't, then life would have no meaning, or religion would have no meaning at all. Either you apply it. Even as Muslims, we say, well, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he comes, he will apply the absolute Islam clause to the entire earth, and therefore it's going to be justice. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Amir al-Mu'minin and the Imam, they never acclaimed to come to establish the laws of God as Allah wants them.
Yes.
They said, no, we're here to deliver.
People were not ready, actually, for that kind of law.
Yeah.
People and the whole world was not ready, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they said, you know what? There will come a time where one of our descendants will establish that law to its perfection.
Yes.
So right now, like I said, we have crimes. We have punishment for them, but not the Islamic or the Christian punishment for it.
Let's take another break and we'll be back.
Paul tells us that even if you can speak the language of both man and angels, if you lack love, brothers and sisters, you're just making a lot of noise. Maybe you're the world's smartest person and you have a great faith that can move mountains, or you give all your money to the poor, or you give your body over to hardship. My Bible says, without love, you say nothing. Without love, you gain nothing. Without love, you are nothing.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this. And we are talking about the movie God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness. Brother Hussein, you know, there is this part in the movie that, they are talking about a couple of things, at least they are giving examples of items which cannot be really compensated or accounted for by science or even money, Like, for example, you can't buy life, basically, all right? If the death, the time, the deadline is coming, like the angel of death,
if death
is going to take you away, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to leave this world, no doctors will be able actually to save you, right?
Yeah.
Or we have lots of other things, like a religious center, for example. In this movie, they are going to burn down this reverence church.
Yeah.
All right?
Well, they're going to close it,
They're going to close it down. They're going to burn it down. They're going to, not burning, but basically they're going to destroy it and put something else instead, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the value of a religious center is very important,
of course.
At least to some people, you know, if not to the atheists, but to the religious people, it's very important. And you cannot buy it. Even the university promised to, like, compensate it with money, right? That was the whole battle was about,
of
right?
Of course.
So don't you agree?
Yes. So the thing is, I feel like if Pastor Dave, the guy, the main character in the movie, if he really believed in God and God is good and God having a plan for him
yes.
and his church, then he'd see, for example, that like the fire burning down his church, he'd see it, for example, like as a sign that, hey, maybe this is a time for a change. And he admits in the movie that he doesn't want to go, like he doesn't know where to go now, like that he wants to go back to the previous days, back to how things were.
Yes.
That's what he says. So if he really had faith in God, he would see this as an opportunity. Hey, you know what? It's, you know, the church is a resemblance of Christianity.
Yes,
okay?
True.
And there are a lot of religions in this university. So why not move to another place and give space for other religions to come in?
Okay, let's take another break and we'll be back.
A minute ago, you were doing all right.
I'm just saying, I think it's time that Christians stand up for themselves.
People were drawn to Jesus because of his love, his patience and kindness. He managed to preach the truth without losing himself in the bargain. He was gentle with the meek and hard as a rock with the arrogant. And when he talked to the foolish, he was patient and never became a fool himself. And he was never proud, David.
You just listened another part of the movie God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, on IRIB English Radio. In this program, Viewpoint, the Movie Critique. Sayyid Abdullah, it seems that there are always two approaches to everything. Like the radical one, all right, to religion. For example, some people are really too religious. And they push their ideas, that they'd like to impose their ideas, like the evangelists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'd like to impose their ideas on the other people. And there's always the mild and softer and more loving or lovable approach to life,
yeah,
including religion. All right? Don't you agree? It's like sometimes when you compare even the followers of the religion, their way of or perspective of or outlook to life is somehow different from even the, the creator, even the prophet and the imams, for example, for our Shias, you know, the followers, in fact, take a different route, it looks.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, in every religion, you find radicals and softer people, like you put it, right? So there's always two wings, the right wing and the left wing. And this is just natural. This happens due to the fact that people misinterpret or mistranslate religion to their own liking. For example, take Islam, for example.
Yes.
We have ISIS, and ISIS believe that everyone who is not my way should be killed.
My way or the highway.
Yeah, my way or the highway. That's their understanding of religion. And they will utilize verses from the Quran. They utilize hadith, narrations from the Prophet to, you know, prove their statement is correct. On the other hand, you have people saying, no, Islam is love, Islam is peace, and this and that. And also, they would use the Quran and the hadith to prove their claim.
Yes.
So this happens to mistranslation and misunderstanding of the faith itself.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, for us as Muslims, we always need to refer back to those whom Allah has made gods on religion, which are the imams for us.
True.
So even that concept applies to Christianity, applies to Judaism, applies to everybody who have a faith system, a belief, where you always have two sides. And then, like I said, that only happens because of their mistranslation, misinterpretation, and misunderstanding of the text of religion itself.
Thank you very much. Let's take another break and listen to another part of the movie, and we'll discuss and criticize that part.
Although St. James has meant everything to me, although it's been my whole life, I would gladly give all of that up for this, for you. So I am withdrawing my lawsuit against the school. and dropping the charges against Adam Richardson. We've also agreed to turn this land over to Hadley University so that they can use it to build a new student center. A long overdue addition to this campus. Chancellor Ellsworth has assured me that this new facility will have a space for our Harbor House, led by our campus minister, Josh Wheaton. As for me, I'm going to build a new church. And I don't know how, I don't know where yet, but I'm willing to bet that God can handle the details. And I'd love your help, all of you. We could build something new, together. But for now, please, put down those signs. Put them down. Go ahead, lay them down. Let's stop shouting at each other and start listening. It's the only way that things will get better. Now, please, take these candles and let's stand together.
You just listened to another part of the movie, God's Not Dead, number 3, A Light in Darkness. In this program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Brother Hussein, I'm going to ask you the last question regarding this movie, the message of the movie.
Go ahead.
All right? Well, I believe the message of the movie was tolerance, acceptance, and peace. That is what I call the softer version of religion, like we discussed it in the last part with Sayyid Abdullah, about the radical view, violent view, like the way of the followers sometimes, as he referred to ISIS and the like. And we also have the mild and softer version of all religions. And this is emphasized throughout the whole movie. I mean, this theme gets repeated throughout the whole movie. God is good all the time.
Yeah.
This is what I believe the message of the movie is. Don't you agree?
Well, kind of. I feel like there's another part to it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like this film feels more like a political statement rather than an installment that helps answer these controversial questions about religion.
Mm-hmm.
If I can cite an article from Vox, yes. This writer...
Very short.
This writer, Alyssa Wilkinson, who was raised as a conservative Christian, says that despite their titles, the movies, the God's Not Dead,
yes.
They haven't really been about arguments for the existence of God, either anecdotal or philosophical, mm-hmm. which I agree. I agree with this because I feel like it's more of a political, it has more of a political message.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, and thank you, our dear listeners. You were listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We criticize the movie God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How do we actually know that our values are any more valid than anyone else's?
God called me to fight.
God calls you, you call me.
His brother is a lawyer. Are you kidding me?
What you're doing, it's against the law.
We're wasting our time here.
We cannot respond to hate with more hate.
Is it true?
I just don't see God's mercy here, especially not from Pastor Dave.
He's human, Keaton.
He's supposed to be a man of God.
What am I doing wrong?
You don't get to play innocent.
You did this!
The whole world knows what the church is against, but it's getting harder and harder to know what it's for.
The Light.
Egyptian archaeologists have completed the renovation of a tomb of an ancient king, providing a rare glimpse into the world's oldest known pyramid. The 4,700-year-old Step Pyramid was built during the reign of King Djoser. The southern tomb is the second for the king and his smaller. It is smaller compared to royal tombs. Some researchers suggest it was built for the preservation of Djoser's internal organs, while others say it was built symbolically. It had been undergoing renovation for 15 years before being reopened to the public.
120 tons of blocks were raised by Egyptian hands, astonishingly and with the determination to achieve one goal. That is the reconstruction of the tomb, just as it was 4,700 years ago.
The complex is historically significant, as it is the earliest known example of the Egyptian custom of pharaohs being buried in pyramid-shaped tombs. According to experts, ancient Egyptians believed that this step design served as a gigantic stairway of the soul of the deceased pharaoh that could ascend to the heavens. Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Paša Petkuns came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Paša thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degrees, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degrees is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
It does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkuns works as a Hollywood stunt double. Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues, as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. But a young Spanish designer is dedicating his time to the cause of recycling plastic waste. 28-year-old Humberto Les quit his job last year to focus full-time on his environmental efforts. He collects trash from the coast of his home island of Gran Canaria. Humberto usually picks up an average of 5 kilos from the shore at a time. After he is done compiling, he processes the material and turns it into pieces of furniture. Humberto's aim is to make the task of recycling plastic economically justifiable, that is.
I decided to leave my job, stability, to come back here to develop a project to clean the coastline by designing furniture, because I realized that the coast could not be cleaned in an altruistic manner. So I found a way to give economic value to the waste found in the coast.
Humberto is making products ranging from clothes hangers to stools, but he also wants to create larger products with a longer lifespan in the future. According to the UN Environment Program, only 9% of all plastic waste produced throughout history has ever been reprocessed. Around 80% of it remains accumulated in dumps, landfills, or nature.
A floating concert venue has entertained music lovers in London. Renowned pianist Masayuki Tayama and his partner started a project to play on a canal boat traversing the city's waterways 2 months ago. Since then, they have performed 9 concerts and their upcoming performances are already sold out in months ahead. The couple came up with the idea after living on a narrow boat with a digital piano.
This is the piano boat, which is the only canal boat of its kind. It was built to our specifications as a floating concert venue. So we have a brand new Steinway grand piano, and here we give musical experiences for people on the canals.
The artists believe the experience is very different from playing in regular concert halls. They say recitals on the boat create a unique interaction with the audience and it feels friendlier. small fairy pigeon Vader has interrupted a cricket match in Ireland. A playful puppy ran into the field of a semi-final match and caught the ball. The scene caused laughter amongst those present. After a few minutes of chasing the dog, players managed to get the ball back. The funny video has gone viral on the internet.
A caiman and a local tour guide in Bolivia's Amazon region have formed an unlikely friendship with Bond going viral on the internet. Although people are warned to stay away from caimans, Alejandro Gil has struck up a friendship with one special reptile named Jesus. Despite the caiman's carnivorous nature, it shakes his tail and allows Gil to pat it on the head after being fed. At 4 meters long, Gil, however, admits that getting close to Jesus does still make him nervous.
My knees shake when I work with Jesus. I'm always scared and very careful, and also respectful to tourists. Guides in the Pampa de Yacuma and across Bolivia consult with tourists before undertaking an activity. If they agree with it, then we do it. If one person is not in agreement with an activity, then we don't do it.
Gil says they are only able to get in touch with a caiman in a dry season when the river is at low water levels. They lose the reptile in January when the river rises. Caimans inhabit Mexico, Central and Northern South America, from marshes and swamps to mangrove rivers and lakes. Their diet consists of a great deal of fish, but caimans also hunt insects, birds and small mammals and reptiles. A new initiative has been launched to turn the spotlight on the misery of Syrian refugee children. Little Amal, a giant puppet depicting a young Syrian refugee child, has arrived in St. Peter's Square in Vatican City. This 3.5 meter tall puppet has traveled all the way from Syria to Turkey, Greece and Italy. It will then go to France, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium and the UK to focus attention on the urgent needs of young refugees. Syrian refugees, especially children, are in a dire situation after being driven from their homes due to the conflict in their country.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Archaeologists have discovered the largest ever bronze mask in an archaeological site in China's southwest Sichuan province.
This is a large bronze mask we unearthed from the central park of the number 3 ritual pit. The widest part, from one tip of ear to the other, is 136 centimeters, and the height is around 75 centimeters. It can be regarded as the largest bronze mask unearthed in Sanjingdui, and even the largest in the Shang and the Shu dynasties.
The mask was found together with other cultural objects, such as ivory and bronzeware. These items needed to be removed first before handling the mask, which made the extraction process complicated. Restoration work is underway on the largest bronze mask taken from the site. The relic is believed to be thousands of years old, dating back to the Shu period. The site is an archaeological treasure mine belonging to the Bronze Age of over 4,000 years ago. The area was first discovered in China in the late 1920s. An Australian zoo has welcomed two baby bilbies, an endangered species. Their birth has brought joy and hope to zookeepers and wildlife enthusiasts. The baby bilbies were born in Taronga Zoo in Western Sydney. Zookeepers named the two male joeys, Molly and Cliff, after a national park that once was home to herds of this animal. The birth of the joys has raised hope among the zookeepers of reintroducing the species to the wild. Bilbies were once found across 70% of Australia's landmass. They are believed to have inhabited Australia for up to 15 million years.
Chameleons changing color is one of the most fascinating traits amongst living creatures. Now, can't humans make a robot with the same capability? In a science lab in Seoul, a team of engineers have created a robot that mimics the color-changing ability of the famous lizard. The researchers have made the skin with a special ink that changes color based on temperature and is controlled by tiny flexible heaters. The head engineer says creating a wearable device that can actively change color and patterns was the main goal of the study.
The pattern of South Korea's military uniform is made for woodland and certain colors. So if you wear this military uniform and go to the desert, you can be easily exposed. Actively changing colors and patterns to match different surroundings is the key of camouflage technology, and we made this possible.
The total thickness of the flexible, multi-layered artificial skin is thinner than a human hair. The scientists envision that their research can be adapted for military uniforms to help soldiers blend into their surroundings. It can also be used for aesthetic purposes such as fashion, exterior of cars and buildings, as well as future display technology.
Visitors and staff of a French zoo have been amazed by the surprise birth of two African lion cubs. The babies, a boy and a girl, were born 2 weeks ago in Amnéville Zoo. Their birth was unexpected due to their father's advanced age of 17. The cubs will live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. According to zookeepers, they are currently in good health. The Amnéville Zoo has asked people on social media to name the newborns. The German capital Berlin turns colorful as the annual mural festival has brought artists together to display their works around the city. Artists have instilled new life into neighborhoods with giant murals that attracted hundreds of visitors. This year's event was resumed under the motto Home Street Home after its 2020 edition was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Organizers say the paintings invite people to discover the city as a gigantic open-air gallery.
The Italian city of Venice has held its annual historical regatta festival, attracting hundreds of spectators. People wearing costumes rowed their colorful boats and gondolas through the city's Grand Canal. The participants reenacted the city's history by carrying people dressed up as the King of Venice and his wife up the canal. Some of the riders also put their strength to the test by racing each other throughout the day. The regatta dates back to the 13th century and has been held every year in September.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believe that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters, and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up canals, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, aspects and principles of conduct. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. The roots of conduct have four aspects, as we have already mentioned. The conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the conduct with the self, the conduct with the creation, and the conduct with the rest of the world. Brothers and sisters, we as human beings are bound to have these relationships. How is our relationship with Allah? How is our relationship with ourselves? Then how is our relationship with people around us, like our parents and then friends and then other community members and so on and so forth? Last but not least is the conduct with the rest of the world. We said that each of these aspects is based upon seven principles according to some ulama and some teachers of akhlaq and irfan. The seven principles of conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something we already discussed. Let's talk about the seven principles of conduct with the self, the relationship with the self. So the first one is fear. Brothers and sisters, we have to be afraid of our future, not just our present, where we're going to end up. The type of relationship we should have is that our nafs pulls us towards the worldly desires. We have to fear our nafs, and in that fear, we have to try to control our nafs. Similarly, striving is the second one. We have to be constantly in the state of struggle and strive and jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the jihad of our soul, the jihad of our spirit, the jihad of controlling our nafs. This is another relationship, the principle that our self is dependent upon. The third one is enduring harm, and that is to face all the harm, to face all the difficulties, and still be steadfast on the path of Allah. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the aspects and principles of conduct. And we said that there are four types of conduct or relationships every human being is supposed to, by default, have. The conduct with Allah, with the self, with the creation, and with this world. And today we are discussing the conduct with the self. We went over the three principles before the break. Let's move on to the fourth one. It is called spiritual discipline. Brothers and sisters, we know that spiritual completion and spiritual perfection is one of our goals in this world. We have to attain that perfection through the principles taught to us by Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and the Word of Allah, the Holy Quran. This spiritual discipline is supposed to be there, so our relationship with ourselves, it requires that spiritual discipline. Otherwise, our nafs and ourself is going to be out of control. The fifth one is seeking truthfulness and sincerity. A lot of times we do good actions, but the question is, what about our intentions? The action superficially and apparently was good, but what about our intentions? Do we have sincerity, the level of sincerity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has demanded from us? The truthfulness to ourselves. Be truthful to your nafs. Don't lie to your nafs, and vice versa. Let your nafs speak the truth to you. You know the reality. Are you paying attention to that reality or not? The next one is withdrawing the self from what it loves. One of the problems is that, you know, there's a type of nafs which we don't have time to get into, nafs al-ammara. This type of nafs takes you towards the world, right? The beauties of this world. It has its own likings and dislikings. You have to withdraw intentionally and knowingly from that. Last but not least is the binding in poverty, which is faqr. And again, we have run out of time, so just remember that, you know, binding in poverty or faqr is the last one. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Quran Quest is pleased. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters across the world, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, and it's the program where we discuss the verses of the Quran with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
We have arrived at verse 61 of chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary. Let's listen to these verses and we will be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Therein are gardens of perpetual residence, which the Most Merciful has promised His servants in the unseen. Indeed, His promise has ever been coming. They will not hear therein any ill speech, only greetings of peace, and they will have their provision therein, morning and afternoon. That is paradise, which we give as inheritance to those of our servants who were fearing of Allah.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verse 61 onwards of chapter 19, chapter Mary of the Quran. On verse 61, the Quran describes heaven as promised by the All-Beneficent to His servants while they were still unseen. Indeed, His promise is bound to come to pass. Can you explain about this unseen feature of the heaven?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. The meaning of unseen is either two things. Here the interpreters have two interpretations to this. The first one is unseen, that the heaven is unseen. It has not been seen. La aynun ra'at wa la udhunun sam'at. No eyes has seen, nor no ear has heard of. It's either this meaning, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised this to the believers even when they were unseen, yet to come to existence.
Oh, so it could either mean that the heaven is unseen or the believers who are to dwell there.
Yeah, so Allah has put this promise out, and even He even promised the believers that are yet to come.
Okay, and it goes on to say that indeed, His promise is bound to come to pass. God always says this, always emphasizes that His promise will occur. He's addressing the doubt in human beings, that you don't have to doubt this. Can you help us in relieving this doubt?
This really goes back to the factor of bid'ah. It's very important for us to understand the meaning of bid'ah, and I think we've talked about it before, and hopefully we will talk about it more, and especially look at the idea and the concept available in the Ash'ari idea and the school of other school of thoughts other than the Shia. Now, what is important to understand in bid'ah for now is that bid'ah means that what we believe is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and capability and ability and does whatever He wants. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created gravity, the thing that Newton discovered, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His bid'ah, with His capability, we Shias believe that He has the capability to remove this gravity, and we could be like we're living in space right now with no gravity, and we'll be flying away, and you have to brush your teeth in some specific manner and whatnot. For example, it was written down that I would live, for example, for 20 more years. But then because I smiled at your face, كنت بشاً هشاً معك, thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand my life. I gave to charity, Allah will expand my life. All these things are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do the Shia state? Even the things that Allah promised, for example, Allah promised that this will happen. Does He also have the capability of doing so? We state that with the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bid'ah does not come. Why? Because He promised. And His promise does not break.
Now, this is very important. I'm going to review this after the break. It's important to understand that bid'ah does not affect God's promises subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go to the break and we'll be back to review this concept once again.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. So just before the break, Sheikh Habib, you pointed out to something which is a very important concept. The concept of bid'ah means that God can do whatever He wills. But what you pointed out to here is that once He promises something, there is no chance that bid'ah can affect
that.
Allah
la yakhlif al mi'ad, and this is another verse that we could also use as evidence.
So if God promises that He will take us to hell, is that it that we don't have any more chance, for instance, to repent?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not promise anyone that He's going to take him to hell. Mm-hmm. Right? And this, of course, al-wa'du wal-wa'id. Right, the difference between the wa'ad and wa'id. What's the difference between the two? We will talk more about that, inshallah ta'ala, with the verses that are talking about hell. But of course, there's this promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you die a believer with good actions and you're a good dude, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send you into heaven. He promised it. He's promising it here.
So this is important to understand that even though we can, God subhanahu wa ta'ala will never change on His promise, on His good promises that He's made.
Yes.
Let's move on to the next verse. Therein they will not hear vain talk. Can we talk a little bit about this vain talk? And you look like it's something that you really want to talk about.
Yes. Why? Because other than the satisfaction of with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we talked about on the previous show, there's something that we talked about, me and you, before coming into the studio, actually. You know how I told you that when someone, you know, annoys me and, you know, hurts me with words, what do?
I ignore them not only for a few days.
I ignore them forever. Unless they need something for me and they ask for something, then khidmatul mu'mineen, the service of believers. And bil khidma nahna. But at the end of the day, it hurts. When you hear people, you know, hurting you with words, you know, for example, you're living in a big house. You're renting a big house, right? And you're so happy, and then the owner of the house comes, huh, why did you scratch the wall? Huh? Why did you do this? Why did you do that?
You're happy, you're sitting down, and you're just like relaxing and whatnot. The wife comes and tells you, you're thinking about marrying the second one. What bad have I done to you? You're sitting down and you're happy with your children. Then comes your, for example, your neighbor telling you that your child hit my child. And you know, it's very annoying. It's very annoying. Sometimes words annoy people. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, all right, this happiness that I am promising you, it has none of that. It's complete happiness. See, in this world, run, walk, fly, do whatever you want to reach happiness, that pure relaxation, that pure happiness, as-sa'ada, with everything that the concept has, you will never find it. See, I'm sitting down on this comfortable chair, yet I can't move a lot. I'm not relaxed with it. Why? Because when I move too much, it's going to make a squeaky sound, which the producer is going to make me to, you know, repeat my sentence. So that's why I'm not relaxed, even though it's a comfortable chair. For example, I buy a brand new car. I'm not relaxed. Why? Because there's fear that someone's going to steal it. There's fear that someone may, you know, scratch it. I have to change its oil, the tires. I'm afraid that someone might, you know, want to take it away from me. So in this world, there's no such thing as complete relaxation, complete happiness. But in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising you, where you can sit down at the river. You can sit down at the river with your hur al-ayn, relax, drink some of that juice that's available from that from the rivers of heaven. No one's going to hurt you with the words. Okay. Salama, peace.
It's all peace. Let's take a break and we'll be back after that very interesting discussion.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're talking about verses 61 onwards from chapter 19 of the Quran, which describe a heaven. We just talked about what it means that there are no vain talks there, and it's all peace. Let's talk about how verse 62 describes heaven as a place where their provision will be given to them, morning and evening. Now, our provision is always given to us, even in this world. This isn't something special to heaven. What is so special about the provision of heaven?
Here, of course, there's this thing that is, you know, all Muslims are submitted to, that everything that they want and need, and of course there are verses that talk about it, it's available there. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a specific kind of, you know, provision, specific kind of blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives at that time. And it's at that time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them these, you know, beautiful blessings, usually at the start of the day and at the end of the day. And of course, there's this question, are there days in heaven? Is there night and day? Do we need night and day? And the answer to that is that some of the interpreters state that yes, like for example, Tafsir al-Amthal, so they say yes, and they know the differences between the dim light and the stronger light, and that kind of differences. Anyway, we're going to go to heaven, inshallah ta'ala. We'll see what you
is it really important, is that kind of discussion? Because in the end of the day, it's all about heaven being the most satisfying place.
But there are some things that are important that I wanted to tie up to this. Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, when they talk about this verse, actually, where do they put this verse? Al-Mahasin al-Barqi, the book Al-Mahasin by Sheikh al-Barqi, whether it's Ahmed ibn Ali or Ali ibn Ahmed, it's a big debate between the scholars. Anyway, the second volume, because it's two volumes, pages 230, somewhere like that, right? Over there, there's the sayings that state that to eat twice a day, right? And the imam, a man came to the imam. He told him that I have pain in my stomach. I have a stomach ache. The imam told him to eat twice. Once in the morning, early in the morning, and once at night. Like have breakfast and have dinner. Don't eat anything in between. Then he would recite this verse. There are like three or four sayings over there that have this